If you have your Bible, I would encourage you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're going to be looking at a couple of verses, from the text, or in the text, from which Pastor Steve preached this morning. You'll also find those on the back of your order of service if you'd like to follow along there. And that may be more helpful. I don't know. Because we're going to be looking both at 1 Thessalonians as well as 2 Thessalonians, but they're so close and so short that you can easily flip from one to the other in your Bible if you choose to follow along there. This morning in his sermon, Pastor Steve challenged us to consider our level of satisfaction or dissatisfaction with our personal growth in Christ-likeness. And from Thessalonians 4, verses 1 through 12, he pointed out that godly ambitions and godly attitudes should give way to godly actions. And in looking at those godly actions that Paul focuses on here in 1 Thessalonians 4, Pastor Steve categorized them into three groups: moral purity, brotherly love, and responsible living. For our brief time together this evening, I want us to go back and think a little bit more together about the issue of brotherly love. And specifically, reflecting on the language here in 1 Thessalonians and also the language in 2 Thessalonians, increasing or growing in brotherly love. As we consider this issue, I want us to examine it in three parts. Okay, first, we're going to consider the question, what is meant by brotherly love? When Paul writes of brotherly love, when we speak of brotherly love, what does Paul mean? What should we think about as far as brotherly love? Second, why should we increase in brotherly love? Obviously, the Apostle Paul wanted the church at Thessalonica to do it, but why? Why should we increase in brotherly love? And then lastly, how might we increase in brotherly love? Now, if you are a note taker, I will give you a word of warning in advance. All right? It's hopefully going to be progressively easier to take notes as we move along, because I intend, and hopefully I will fulfill my intentions, I intend to be very quick on that first point, not as quick on the second point, but we will spend the majority of our time on the third. How is it that we can grow in brotherly love? So if you take notes, you may find it most helpful just to jot a few things down in those first two points, but really it'll be the third point that you will want to focus on. Well, what is meant by brotherly love? There are various types of love spoken about in Scripture. There is the eternal love that has existed and will always exist between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There is the love that God has shown to us in Christ. There is the love between a husband and a wife. There is a love of a parent for his or her children. There is love for fellow Christians, and there is that love that Pastor Steve referred to this morning of enemies, love of enemies, to which Jesus calls us as his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount. Well, when we speak of brotherly love, we're talking about here, and what Paul is referring to is loving fellow Christians. All of those other categories of love are important, and some of them are important to understand in order to fully comprehend what it is to love fellow believers. But for our time this evening, we're focusing specifically on loving one another as followers of Christ, brothers and sisters following Christ. Now, a word about words. Thinking still about what we mean by brotherly love, Many of us have probably heard a sermon or two or many that go into details about the Greek words for love, specifically two categories of words that are used in the Bible, the verb agapao and its noun equivalent agape, the sacrificial kind of love that the Father has demonstrated for us in Christ, often referred to in this way, using the word agape or its verb form. And then the other category is the verb form phileo or the noun philia. And this is often translated brotherly love. And occasionally there will be an emphasis made by a preacher on the particular word that is being used. And so that we should understand agape different than philia. And there are times where that is appropriate, where there are differences. But there is also significant overlap between the two. The two are used interchangeably. And even so, here in 1 Thessalonians 4:9, Paul uses both categories to speak to the same issue. So if you are used to thinking in different categories about those different types of love, the text that we're going to be dealing with this evening doesn't hang on a difference there. We're simply talking about loving one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. So secondly, why should we increase in brotherly love? If that's what we're talking about, as far as what brotherly love is, why should we increase in it? Well, again, as Pastor Steve highlighted this morning, there is the centrality of love in the Christian life. We see Jesus calling his disciples to love one another and that this would be a testimony to the world that, in fact, they are his followers, how they love one another. And over and over and over in the scriptures, we are called to love so that oftentimes love is grouped, and rightly so, with faith and hope as signifying the three essential virtues of the Christian life. These three things should characterize every believer: faith, hope, and love. This is central to our Christian living. Therefore, we ought to seek to grow in it because it is, in one sense, at the heartbeat of who we are. But also, the example of the Thessalonians suggests to us that we ought to grow in Christian love. Here's what I mean. Read with me 1 Thessalonians 4:9 through 10. Now, concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more. So Paul is recognizing that they know what it is to love one another, but they should do it more and more. They should grow in it. Roughly 6 months to a year, we don't know for certain, but most likely 6 months to a year, Paul writes another letter to the Thessalonians, the book of 2 Thessalonians. Turn with me there to the beginning of 2 Thessalonians, verses 3 and 4. And notice what Paul says here. Recalling that in his previous letter, he had urged them to increase in love, or to love one another more and more. Verse 3 of chapter 1, 2 Thessalonians. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Therefore, we ourselves boast about you in the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith in all your persecutions and in the afflictions that you are enduring. So what has happened? The church at Thessalonica receives the first letter from Paul. They read it and all of the exhortations in it. And one of them is grow in love. And as Paul begins this second letter. What is his testimony? I am pleased that you, in fact, are growing in love for one another. They heard the word and they were growing in love for one another. We ought to seek to increase in love because this is precisely what happened to the church at Thessalonica when they received the authoritative word of the apostle. Now, you might say, well, wait a second. Aren't they like some model church or something? Well, you know, Paul does commend them for their faithfulness. He does speak about them in ways that lift them up and encourage them. And he does give evidence at the beginning of 1 Thessalonians that they're turning to God in faith. Their following Christ was a testimony to those around them so that he can call them a model or example church. But that does not mean that their growth in the grace of love is something that is for the super church or just for the model church. Here's why. Because although the Thessalonians, in some respects, were a model church, but also having areas to grow, they were this because of God's grace to them. And we have been called by the same Father that called them. We have been saved by the same Savior that rescued them from sin and death. If we are in Christ, we have been born again by the same Spirit that brought them to new life. We have embraced the same gospel that 2,000 years ago this church embraced. The grace of God that was upon them to cause them to grow in Christ's likeness, and specifically to grow in love, is the exact same grace that the same Father, the same Son, and the same Spirit continue to give to us today in order to help us grow in Christ's likeness. So there is hope because God has worked this way in the past. God continues to work in making His children more like Christ, so there is hope that we too would grow in Christ's likeness. But also, we should seek to increase in brotherly love because of godly dissatisfaction. As Pastor Steve noted this morning, there should be a sense in which we are discontent with our growth in Christ's likeness, a desire to be more and more like Christ. This dissatisfaction should be and often is true when we examine the depth and the breadth or the lack thereof of our love for others, particularly our love for fellow believers. Scottish pastor Maurice Roberts noted that when it comes to growing in love, even the best believers find their progress slow and their attainments meager. That is, if we were honest, I think we would all say, I know I would, and I would venture to guess that you would as well, that we have room to grow when it comes to loving one another. And this is exactly what God desires of us, for us to grow. So, how might we increase in brotherly love? How is it that we can grow in loving one another? First, a disclaimer. Some of these suggestions that I'm going to make are not original to me. Some of them are based on Paul's description of love in 1 Corinthians 13. Some are from other authors. For the sake of continuity, I'm not going to reference the particular source of each suggestion. If you have questions about that, I'd be happy to answer them later. So I'm put that out there to say, I didn't come up with all of these, okay? So we're clear on that. So how is it that we might increase in brotherly love? First, let your heart be often warmed by the fire of God's love. Let your heart be often warmed by the fire of God's love. Going back to the scripture reading that we read earlier in the service, from 1 John 4:16 and 17, we read this. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. How is it that love is perfected? What is the by this? By abiding in God, by God abiding in us. And one of the ways in which God abides in us and we abide in him is by abiding in his word. Jesus makes this very clear in John chapter 15. I'd encourage you to go read that passage later. But one of the ways that we can grow in love, as John puts it in verse 17, one of the ways in which we can have love perfected or pushed towards maturity is by abiding in the love of God, meditating on the love that God has demonstrated for us in Christ. As we have talked about before, not simply taking the gospel as something to check off and move on from, but resting in the gospel, meditating in the gospel, contemplating in your heart the fact that the eternal Father crucified his eternal Son so that you might be reconciled to him. There is no love higher than this. And if we will meditate on the love that the Father has demonstrated for us in his Son, we will be motivated. We will be pressed forward. We will not be able to help but grow in love for others. Fundamentally, the growing of love, growing in love for one another is not a doing issue. It's not, all right, let's get these list of things and let's do these. And if we do all of these, then we'll be growing in love. We have to make effort. It is helpful to exert our will towards growing in love. But fundamentally, it begins and is always centered on a heart issue. Is our heart resting in? Is our heart warmed by? Is our heart enthralled with what God has done for us in Christ? We dare not move beyond this. Secondly, we should pray for others. We should pray for others. D.A. Carson's book, A Call to Spiritual Reformation, is a series of reflections on the prayers of the Apostle Paul. In that book, Carson observes that the Apostle Paul devotes a large proportion of his prayers toward praying for others. Excuse me. This is what Carson says. Praying for others demands that we examine our own hearts. How can we effectively pray for others if we nurse resentments against them? The hindrance is more than psychological, as if the principal problem were the sheer difficulty of bringing ourselves to intercede for those toward whom we feel bitter. That is a real barrier, of course. How often have you prayed for anyone whom you resent? But there is a deeper barrier. God himself declares that unconfessed sin will cut us off from communication with him, from his powerful answers. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. From Isaiah 59. Notoriously, what so often cuts us off from effective intercession is sheer bitterness, nurtured resentment, nicely preserved grudges, a desperate want of forgiveness. this is pitifully common among us. When we refuse to pray for fellow believers, it's all too easy to brush aside our feelings of resentment, to ignore indwelling bitterness towards them. However, genuine prayer for other believers will not allow such sinful attitudes to go unnoticed. In this way, prayer for others acts as a means to root out bitterness in our heart and foster genuine love and concern for one another. Moreover, prayer itself for one another is an act of love. Can we do anything more for one another than ask the God of the universe to act in one another's lives, to do things beyond which we cannot even comprehend or fathom or even completely ask for? Prayer in and of itself is an act of love for one another. You can use the prayer request sheets from your Sunday school class to encourage this. Of course, that requires you to be in a Sunday school class, right? So get in a Sunday school class, get the prayer request sheet from that Sunday school class, and start praying for one another. Use the weekly prayer request sheet that we put out on Wednesdays and that comes through the email every Wednesday. Use the church directory. If you don't have one, ask for one. There are 36 pages in the church directory. That means that in a month, if you just took a page, you could almost make it all the way through praying for one another in a single month. How can you foster love for one another? Pray regularly for one another. Thank God for evidence of God's grace in the lives of other believers. Paul is notorious for this, notorious in a good way, right? Repeatedly in his letters, he opens by expressing thanksgiving for evidence of how God is at work in their lives. When you pray, thank God for the evidence of His grace at work in the lives of other believers. And as you see how God is showing His love toward your fellow brothers and sisters, you too will be encouraged to love them, to pray for their continued growth. Next, be generous in your words of kindness and gratitude toward others. Be generous in your words of kindness and gratitude toward others. Sometimes we might be reluctant for one reason or another to encourage others because we don't want to be misunderstood, but we ought to be careful because although unintentional, our silence can be perceived as coolness or disregard. Be generous in your words of kindness and gratitude towards one another. Next, identify those relationships in which you need to grow the most. That is, don't simply say, all right, I'm going to grow in loving everybody. We need to do that. But as a step, narrow it down. Ask the Lord, what particular relationships do I need to grow in love in? Who do I find it most difficult to love? Are there individuals who demonstrate a particular need to be loved? Next, set your expectations low. Set your expectations low. A New York Times article from 2009 entitled "Lowered Expectations" begins this way. Mysterious are the ways of human happiness, as anyone who has surveyed the perplexing, often contradictory research findings can attest. But one nugget in particular truly boggles. Denmark is the happiest nation in the world. More than two-thirds of Danes report being very satisfied with their lives, according to a survey, a figure that has held steady for more than 30 years. True, Danes tend to be healthy, married, and active, all contributing factors to happiness. But why, researchers wondered, are Danes happier than Finns and Swedes, who share many of these traits, not to mention a similar culture and climate? The answer is, in a word, expectations. Danes have low expectations, and so year after year they are pleasantly surprised to find out that not everything is rotten in the state of Denmark, cites one researcher. Now, setting low expectations, that's how Chicken Little would get at this issue, right? The sky is falling. How can we look at this pessimistically? That is, but what I intend to say here in setting low expectations is this. When you seek to demonstrate love for another brother and sister, don't expect anything in return. That's not why you're doing it. If that is your motivation, then you will be disappointed because they may not return the love in the same way or the way in which you want them to. Don't love in order to be loved or to be praised or to be appreciated. Recognize that loving others is neither easy nor natural. Loving others is neither easy nor natural. We are sinful, and therefore we must fight the temptation not to love. Others are sinful, and so they will disappoint us, and we will be tempted to think that they are unworthy of our love. And this is why we must warm our hearts with the gospel, because the gospel tells us that we were not worthy of the Father's love either. And yet he has loved us in Christ. Maurice Roberts, who I quoted earlier, observes the following. Why is real Christian love so scarce in the world? It is because its cultivation requires nothing less than the reversal of every instinct in our fallen natures. Love is against the grain of nature. It is against every fiber of our being as sinners. But nature in the regenerate is under the higher power of grace. What the unregenerate cannot do, true Christians may and must. Loving others is not easy. It's not normal according to our sinful nature. But by God's grace, we can grow in this. Finally, pray for God's help, both for yourself and for others. Pray for God to help us grow in loving one another more fully. The prayer of the Apostle Paul that precedes 1 Thessalonians 4, the end of chapter 3, Paul prays this, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Let us follow the example of the Apostle Paul and pray that God would cause each of us to grow in our love for one another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you again this evening, Father, we thank you that you are the same God who ruled over and who gave your grace to the church at Thessalonica. We thank you that we are saved by the same Savior who rescued them from their sins. We thank you that the same Spirit has been poured out to us. And so, Father, because of the way in which you have demonstrated your grace previously, we pray that this same grace would be demonstrated among us, that we would grow in our love for one another. Father, I thank you that what was written about the church at Thessalonica is true of Reynoldsburg Baptist Church. That is, that this is a church that does love one another. That this is a church that exhibits compassion and care for its fellow members. But Father, I pray that we would also hear the call to do this more and more, and so increase in love. And Father, we pray that as you are faithful to accomplish this in our lives, we pray, Father, that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.